You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 7th of April, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, the ripples created by the official government report into institutional racism are still being felt, and I've already pointed out I was pleasantly surprised by the honesty in this report, which shows that there is no such thing as institutional racism. Now, the report's authors are clearly not saying there is no such thing as racism, but they are saying that institutions are not prejudiced against people. And, of course, all the race hustlers are ignoring the nuance in that and claiming that the report says that there is no such thing as racism. And this report has been such a surprise to these race hustlers that it's actually being talked about in America. Civil rights leader, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, has today weighed into the UK's debate on race by saying that Britain is the mother of racism. How can they say Britain is the mother of racism when Britain didn't even have any black or non-white people in it until 70 years ago? Nobody has cared more about the other races than the British. The British sent out missionaries to Africa to try and stop slavery. It was the British themselves that actually put a stop to slavery. It was the British mainly that developed Africa and brought civilization there and helped the African people to learn how to govern themselves and then handed it over to them to govern themselves, and the British people did the same in India. The whole concept of racism came about through white people. It didn't come about through black people coming out with this idea of racism. The term itself goes back to the Soviet Union. As I pointed out yesterday, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of the Russian state, he pointed out that it was Russia that had been speaking up against racism, and that's only been going on for about the last 100 years. How can he say that Britain is the mother of racism, the country that has shown more concern for the other peoples of the world than any other race? When have black people ever shown any concern for anybody else other than blacks? When have Chinese ever shown any concern for people other than Chinese? The whole drive to create this idea of racism and to blame people for it, it really originates in whites, and particularly in Britain, I would suggest. The influential American 79 said Britain must face up to its role in slavery, as he flatly rejected the findings of the recent report into race and racism in the UK. Well, Britain's role in slavery was to put a stop to it. Apart from that, Britain's role in slavery was obviously subservient to Africa's role in slavery. They like to try and say that Britain was the centre of the slave trade. Africa was the centre of the slave trade. If Africa had simply made slavery illegal, then nobody would have been able to buy any slaves from them, would they? They just gloss over the fact that Africa was absolutely central to there being such a thing as the slave trade, and the British were absolutely central in putting a stop to it. This comes after the Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, chaired by Tony Sewell, who is black, said it could find no conclusive evidence of institutionalised racism in Britain. In its report, the Commission also declared that the UK was a model to the world of a successful multi-ethnic society, while accepting that overt prejudice still exists. So they're saying racism still exists, but there is no evidence that there is an institutionalised racism. There is no evidence that people are being turned away from jobs because of what race they are. There is no evidence that people are being turned away from schools or universities because of what race they are. Quite the contrary, in actual fact. We have these things called diversity quotas, which proves that there is no such thing as institutionalised racism. I would question whether Britain is a model to the world of a successful multi-ethnic society, because we have a very, very high crime rate, and the high crime rate that we have only came about since we became a multi-ethnic society. And the people who I hold to account for that are ourselves, our government, our representatives are the ones responsible for creating the multi-ethnic society. So ultimately, they are the ones responsible for the failures of the multi-ethnic society. Please don't think that I am blaming minorities in any way for this. I believe it is our own people that need to be held to account for this. Reverend Jackson, who worked closely with civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., said there was a pattern of racism in the UK. Speaking to Times Radio, he said Britain has a certain responsibility to face up to racism and changed it. I've travelled across Britain and clearly there's a pattern of racism. Has he seen the cabinet? Has he seen the number of non-white faces in the cabinet? Has he seen the person who has been heading the vaccination task force? Has he seen our Home Secretary? Has he looked at the shadow cabinet? Has he never heard of David Lammy or Dawn Butler or any of these other ethnic minorities that there are in the political parties? Quite clearly, if we have non-whites in our ruling political parties in government, then that shows that there isn't a pattern of racism. Yes, you might get the odd yobbo that says something offensive, but people are always going to be saying offensive things, aren't they? So, I mean, swearing is offensive. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is what we were always told in the past. That is the only racism that there is now. It's just language that people take offence at. He also claimed blacks cannot be part of the crown when asked if he thought the royal family was racist in the wake of Meghan Markle's bombshell claims made in her interview with Oprah Winfrey. I don't understand what he is pointing out there. Is he saying that blacks cannot be a part of the City of London? I don't think so. Blacks cannot be a part of the crown? Well, quite clearly, Prince Harry has married a black woman, and she was made into a duchess, and she is seen as his lawful wedded wife. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what she is on paper. So she is a part of the crown. Perhaps he is referring to this this nonsense about their son not being given a title because he's black. And that has already been exposed as false, that their son was not given a title because he is not entitled to a title. He will not be entitled to a title until a few more of the older royals have passed away. And then he may be entitled to have the title of prince. You just have to see what happens. But there are regulations for that, and it has nothing to do with what race the child is. The Duchess of Sussex claimed an unnamed member of the royal family had asked what colour skin Archie would have when she was pregnant with Prince Harry's first child. I mean, what on earth is wrong with that? You would also imagine people would have been asking, do you think the child is going to have ginger hair? Do you think the child is going to have freckles? Because obviously Prince Harry has ginger hair and freckles. It's exactly the same thing to be asking what colour skin you think the child will be likely to have, because the mother is black. I mean, it's a very innocent question that somebody is going to ask. It is not born out of some kind of hatred for the colour of the skin, is it? It's just an inquisitive question. Reverend Jackson refused to say if he thought the royal family were racist, but instead said the marriage between Harry and Meghan showed that change is in the air. He added, in a democracy, everyone has the chance to be everything. There is no superior race and no inferior race. All of us have royal blood. We are all God's children. Everybody matters. Yes, well, the thing is, though, with a democracy, when it is just about numbers, if you have two different races there, then it becomes all about who is the race that breeds the most, and the race that breeds the most is going to have the most representation in the democracy. And if you've got two groups there, then what is good for one group may very well not be good for the other group. So instead of democracy working, and in actual fact, because everybody there is going to be doing what's best for the group because they are a member of that group, if you have two groups that are participating, then one of the groups is going to be doing what's best for its group, and that is obviously not going to be what's best for the other group. This is the problem with liberal democracy. Democracy is absolutely fine, but it needs to be just within one group. The idea that you would have it with different groups, multi-group democracy, it's just a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Because whichever group ends up breeding the most is going to be the group that eventually ends up having all the say. And we see the proof of this in London, which is now 60% non-white, and the London mayor is non-white. And unless the demographics in London changes in the next few years, it will now always be a non-white mayor. And this is what we see everywhere, that it becomes majority non-white. So democracy doesn't work when you have these different groups, and you do end up with a superior group and an inferior group, and the superior group will be the group that has the most numbers. So in London, the superior group is the non-white group, and we see that once the non-white mayor gets into power, he wants to pull down all the representations of the inferior group, the group that has been supplanted, the group that has been displaced, and he wants to change all of those representations of the inferior group for representations of the superior group that has won the battle of the numbers. This is what we see going on around us. So what Jesse Jackson is saying here doesn't really make a lot of sense, and it's actually been reversed from the way around that he thinks that it is. He's obviously referring to it thinking, well, white people think they're superior and they try to make out that black people are inferior. Well, once the numbers show that blacks outnumber whites, then obviously they have superior numbers, and within democracy, they are the superior ones, aren't they? His criticism comes amidst a strong debate over the findings of the report, which was published last week. The Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, set up by Boris Johnson in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests, concluded that although Britain is not yet a post-racial society, its success should be a model for white majority countries. And I pointed out earlier in the week, we need to be told what this term means. What do they mean by post-racial? Do they mean by that that race doesn't exist anymore? Do they mean that everybody has become miscegenated? A miscegenated mass with no heritage, no identity, no ancestry. Is that what they mean by this? Or do they mean a society that doesn't see race? And we have been told that we need to see race more and more and more at the moment, aren't we? We're being told we should not be colorblind. We should not even be calling people BAME anymore, was one of the results of this report. They say that we should not be referring to people as BAME. We should be referring to them by their specific ethnicity. We should be trying to work out exactly what ethnicity they are. So how does that fit in with a post-racial society? They need to define these terms. Chairman Dr. Sewell said the UK had progressed into a successful multi-ethnic and multicultural community, which was a beacon to the rest of Europe and the world. Well, I don't think it is much of a beacon to Poland, who has a much lower crime rate. You can leave your smartphone on the table in the bar in Poland, in the capital there, and it's not going to be stolen. And you can pretty much say the same about the capital of Lithuania and the capital of Latvia. The capitals of these countries that do not have multicultural countries are infinitely more safe than the capital that we have within Britain. They look at something like this and they just think, what are they on? Thinking that Britain is a successful multi-ethnic and multicultural community. Britain has Islamic terrorism, for instance. At the moment, Britain has a teacher that has had to be hidden with his family, with police protection, likely for the rest of his life, because he dared to show a picture of Muhammad in one of his lessons. Is that what a successful multi-ethnic community looks like? If that's what it looks like, then we don't want it. And this is exactly what the Polish people say. You just have to look at their official Twitter feed, the official Twitter feed of the Visegrad countries, and they are always pointing out the problems that we have in the multicultural West. So I would question Dr. Sewell here that he thinks this is a successful multicultural community. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. You cannot have a successful multi-ethnic and multicultural community because there will always be that tension there. They do have a successful multi-ethnic community in Singapore, but they have a strict dictatorship and they are not all equal there. They have an underclass, but they don't have a lot of crime there. The reason for that is because most of the people there are Asian, and I'm using the American Asian term there for Chinese and Japanese and Malaysian, and of course they really don't commit a lot of crime. So you have a different way of doing things there. They're not really a democracy, although they are multicultural. So there are always exceptions to the rule, but when you look closely at it, you see that there is a difference there and not successful anywhere else in the world. He warned ministers must also consider the needs of the white working class, saying his report had uncovered how stuck some groups were. So this is what I mean by it's a refreshingly honest report that has actually looked at the facts and statistics, because this is a fact. It is the white working class that are now being discriminated against. It's the white working class that don't have any programs to help them out. And when any rich, benevolent philanthropists do try to help out the white working class, they're accused of being racists. Of course, any group or organization that says they want to help out white people will be accused of being racist. So it is the white people who are being discriminated against. And this report appears to be showing that it is the needs of the white working class that are being overlooked. Dr. Sewell later insisted that he was not denying the existence of racism, but railed against people deploying the charge of institutional racism willy-nilly. And this is the point. This is the point that the race hustlers are completely missing. He is talking about institutional racism here. He is not saying racism doesn't exist. The report has faced a chorus of criticism from campaigners and politicians, including Baroness Doreen Lawrence. Baroness Lawrence, whose son Stephen was murdered in 1993 in a racially motivated attack in South East London, said the authors of the report are not in touch with reality. Speaking at a public event organised by De Montfort University Leicester's Stephen Lawrence Research Centre on Wednesday, she said, "When I first heard about the report, my first thought was it has pushed the fight against racism back 20 years or more. I think if you were to speak to somebody whose employer speaks to them in a certain way, where do you go with that now?" Well, this is the point, isn't it? They seem to think that it's always going to be racism, that behind any outcome that is not the outcome that they want, they're going to blame racism for it. And if you're white and your employer speaks to you in a way that you don't like, they're just being rude to you, aren't they? But if you're black and your employer speaks to you in a way you don't like, then they're just going to assume that that is racism. It could very well be that you've been late for work, or you haven't been doing the work correctly, the employer is not happy with you. But according to Baroness Lawrence, it's always going to be racism that is behind it. And you can't blame her for saying that, because it has benefited her. It has benefited her in many ways to always be blaming racism for everything. I mean, look, she's now a baroness. She's been given honorary doctorates. And all of this is because she finds racism everywhere. That is her talent, is for just blaming white people for everything. She says, if a person is up for promotion has been denied that, where does he go with that now? See, this is the proof of it. If somebody is black and they don't get promotion, according to her, it's got to be racism. Whereas this report is saying if somebody is black and they're up for promotion and they don't get it, it will likely be for a number of other reasons rather than racism. It could be because they're not qualified. It could be because they've been late for work. It could be because they're dishonest. It could be for all manner of different reasons. It doesn't have to be down to racism. She continued, you know, all these things we've been working for and showing that structural racism exists. We talk about the pandemic. When you look at how many of our people have died, all the nurses, the doctors, the frontline staff of COVID, and to have this report denying that those people have suffered. The report is not denying that those people have suffered. The report is not denying that those people have died. They are saying they did not die because the hospital staff turned them away because they were black. They died for a number of other reasons. Mainly they died because they lived closely to one another, because they are living in the north and their bodies are not built to live in the north. They need to take extra vitamin D supplements if they're living in Northern Europe, and a lot of them don't. So they had weak immune systems. They also found that it was the poorer areas that ended up with more people getting COVID. They also discovered it was cleaners that were getting it, because when you're cleaning, you end up seeing a lot of people. These are the reasons why the black community ended up suffering more with COVID. Not because white people were institutionally racist, not because white people said, you're not coming into this hospital, we're not going to treat you because we just have this bizarre dislike for your skin color. That is not what is going on here. But she can't see that. She thinks it has to be down to race. Because more black people died than whites, it must be racism. She says, they are denying that the likes of my son was murdered through racism, and the fact that it took 18 years to get justice for him. The report is denying all those issues. Again, it is not denying that her son was murdered through racism, if that was found in the courts. But she has to bring that up, you see. She has to bring that up so that people don't question what she has said. It's an appeal to emotion, basically, because obviously nobody's going to want to upset somebody who has unfortunately lost their son, are they? So she's appealing to emotion there and saying, because my son was murdered by racists, you have to agree with what I'm saying, and you have to say it must be down to racism that all these people died. She continues, those people who marched for Black Lives Matter, it is denying all of that. The George Floyd stuff, it's denied all of that. Again, what this shows us is that they're not bothered by facts and logic here. They're saying lots of people marched about it, so it must be true. And we see this happening with the George Floyd trial at the moment. They're saying, well, everybody protested against this. It must be true that Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd because of race, because of all the rioting that went on and because of all the protests that went on. They're not actually calling for justice here. They're just calling for him to be found guilty. If you look, whenever they interview any of the representatives of the black community to do with this trial, none of them will be saying, I hope we see justice. They're all saying, we hope he is found guilty for murder. They think they have already seen enough evidence to know that he is guilty. And this is the same every time that we have white police officers that are on trial for somebody black dying while they were in custody. The black protesters are never, ever asking for justice. They're just always asking for the police officer to be found guilty of murder. And when the trial comes up with evidence that shows that it wasn't murder, They go absolutely wild and they say that they've been denied justice. It's because they have a different idea of what justice actually is to them. They never actually developed a system of justice in Africa. It's not a way that they naturally understand, and it's not something they naturally understand. And I think that can really be seen clearly in the way that they respond to this sort of thing. You have black preachers that are outside the trial at the moment that are praying for Derek Chauvin to be found guilty. Why are they not praying for justice to be done? Why have they already decided what the outcome of the trial is going to be? It's because they feel that they have been hurt by this and they want somebody to blame for it. They don't want it to come out that in actual fact, George Floyd died of a drug overdose. And the fact that he was being arrested, there really wasn't much else that could be done. We'll have to wait till the end of the trial to see the outcome of all of this, of course. But what Baroness Lawrence is saying here is she's saying because lots of people protested against George Floyd, then institutional racism must exist. It must exist because lots of people said it did, even though this report has discovered that there is no evidence for it. She says, so those who sit behind this report saying that racism doesn't exist, or it no longer exists, need to speak to the young boys who are stopped and searched constantly on the street. They need to speak to those young people. So again, she's ignoring what the report actually says. She is creating a straw man there. She is claiming the report says racism doesn't exist, which is not what the report is saying. The report is saying institutional racism doesn't exist. So she's really just trying every dirty trick in the book, isn't she, here, to try and argue against this report. She's not actually arguing against what the report is saying. She's trying to pretend that the report is saying the opposite of what it is saying so that she can then destroy it. And her point here that young black boys are stopped and searched constantly on the street, that's because they fit a witness description for someone who has carried out a crime. The police are not just randomly stopping people. They stop people because they have a reason for suspicion. And they have to give a reason for suspicion, and it has to be recorded, a reason for suspicion. And the fact is that when they stop and search these black boys on the street, they consistently find that the same amount of drugs and weapons on them as when they stop whites. It's not like they are stopping blacks on the streets and they're not actually finding drugs and weapons on them. They are finding drugs and weapons on them, and there's no difference in the frequency to when they stop whites. And if they were stopping blacks when they shouldn't be, then they wouldn't be finding the drugs and the weapons on them, would they? So that there is a reason for this. It's not that the police are saying, we don't like the colour black, so we're going to make anybody with black skin, we're going to make their life unbearable for them. The police are trying to protect the black community from itself, really. Black people are more likely to be killed by other blacks than anything else. 90% of all the murders of blacks are actually carried out by other blacks. If Black Lives Matter were serious about trying to save black lives, that is what they would be concentrating on, not the few blacks that end up being killed by the police, usually whilst resisting arrest. Baroness Lawrence continued, they, the report authors, are not in touch with reality, basically. That's what it boils down to. When you are privileged, you do not have those experiences. Well, the author of the report was black, and the author of the report has included all the facts and all the statistics. It's not that they are out of touch with reality, and even if they were out of touch with reality, that wouldn't make any difference whatsoever, because they are going on the facts and the statistics. And apparently she doesn't understand that. She doesn't understand that people do surveys and people record statistics and people have to explain why somebody has been given the sack or why somebody wasn't allowed into the university. There are records of all of these reasons, and they are acceptable reasons. It's not because employers and university staff are prejudiced against blacks, and she just doesn't like this. So she's throwing her toys out the pram, she's creating straw man arguments, just the same as Jesse Jackson is. And it's a great shame that Boris Johnson hasn't really stood up more for this report, really. I mean, he has said, well, the government does not necessarily agree with everything that has come out of this report, but they should do, because these are the facts, and they should back Tony Sewell, the man behind this report. And it's great that he has had the courage to point out that it is actually the white working class that are being discriminated against, rather than the black community, who are having all sorts of things done for them. Something like 50% of them are now going to university. We have all these diversity quotas for them. We're constantly seeing them on the television, constantly hearing what black people have to say. And yet it seems the more we do for them, the more they're just going to scream racism at us. So it's good news that we have this report. It's just, I'd like to see Boris Johnson stand up for the report's authors a little bit more. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back later on tonight. I will be on the Patriotic Weekly Review 100th episode. I'm supposed to be on there at about 9 p.m. tonight, British time. If you want to hear more from me, and it's a special 4-hour episode, so you've got that to look forward to later on. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.